Welcome to the Bible Questions Podcast, brought to you by BibleQuestions.org and the Holly Street Church of Christ. This podcast is dedicated to answering your Bible questions from the Bible. My name is Jeff, and along with Brian, we are the hosts of this program.
Welcome to the Bible Questions Podcast. This is the fourth and final in a series of studies that we've looked at where we examine the most popular questions that were submitted during the year of 2020. And so today we will finish up this series by looking at Bible study. Folks reach out and ask, you know, for us to help them properly understand or interpret the scriptures. So we'll talk some about that. We have some that just say, hey, you know, I just want to learn what the Bible teaches. What's the best way to go about that? So we'll have some recommendations there. And then Jeff, you have a section you'll go through on resources for learning. We have plenty of those on the website. And then we're going to finish up talking about what about the virus? You know, one of the very first subjects that we talked about doing this kind of best of podcast was premillennialism and some believing that this virus, Jeff, was kind of a sign of the end times, right? Or could be. And so it sounds like we're going to kind of wrap up our series where we started, right? And that's looking at, do things that happen like this pandemic, or is it really a sign from God? Is it a sign of the end of the world? That kind of thing. All right, so with that said, Jeff, why don't we next go into Bible study?
Well, first of all, let me kind of give some sample questions that we've received. For instance, is there only one interpretation of any verse in the Bible? Another person writes, what's the difference between the milk of the word and the meat of the word? Third person writes, and who is responsible to interpret the Bible for all Christians? And where do we meet to discuss doctrinal issues in case we don't agree? And then they cited the example in Acts 15. Now, here's another one. What should a congregation do about a preacher or elder that infers something from the scripture and teaches that if they disagree with it, that they are sinning? How do I know when what Jesus says is for me and when it's only for his disciples? And then, of course, some more general ones like how to read and understand the Bible. Or quote, if people ask how you know Bible truth. So the common theme of these and similar questions that we received are related to looking at the Bible, and it certainly in some ways is a very comprehensive, somewhat complex body of books, if you will, collection of books, to properly understand what is it saying. Now, there's some passages that are like historical, not a lot of controversy there. But when you get into, various doctrinal kinds of things, and especially if you get into various prophetical things, people can get, confused about how to, again, interpret what it's really trying to say. Well, and I think where we kind of start in terms of an answer is, understanding that the Bible is a book that does need to be not only read, but used to create our faith, if I could use that term, as well as build our faith. For instance, in order to have faith and in order to know what to do to be obedient, to God and an expression of that faith, we need a guide, of course. That's where the Bible comes in, John 8:32, where Jesus talks about you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. But I think we need to very quickly, Brian, point out that this is a personal responsibility, meaning you can't just, solely rely on a preacher or pastor or priest or father or whatever person, might be in front of the congregation to sort of spoon feed you. To give you, this is the doctrine or this is the dogma, and you just sort of like a little baby bird, just open your mouth and accept it, so to speak. And in fact, there are several scriptures within the Bible itself that warn about this. Luke chapter 6, verse 39, for example, Jesus himself spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? And of course, you can see that certainly in the physical realm. We can also apply that and see it in the spiritual realm. If we just blindly follow someone else, according to this, will both fall into the ditch, both be in error, you know, both be lost. Second Peter, chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. So just because a person is in front of a congregation, maybe they have a certain title, they're quote unquote clergy, you know, may have gone to some college or seminary or got a degree, whatever. You know, we have this verse in Second Peter that says, hey, not everyone who claims to be a faithful, you know, proclaimer of the gospel is going to be one. There's going to be false teachers. And of course, we need to be careful about that. Brian, if you want to, can you go over to Second Peter chapter 3, verse 15, and see how that applies to our study?
Yes, you bet. So here Peter's talking about Paul's writings, and he says, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
So thank you, Brian. Within this passage, we've got, you know, a couple thoughts. You know, one was, as near the end, the need to grow in grace and knowledge of basically what the scriptures say. That there's a caution, there's a danger, there's a need to beware. And that the scriptures, some of them are easier to understand, more the milk of the word. Some are harder to understand, more the meat of the word. And because they're perhaps a little bit harder to understand, they could be, this passage says, twisted, you know, by untaught, unstable people, twisted to their own destruction. So again, cautions, warnings, and encouragement, likewise, you know, to actually not just a superficial reading of the Bible, but actually, you know, digging into it. And I guess that kind of leads a little bit to, you know, some advice or suggestions or things to keep in mind. You know, for instance, you know, when we approach the Bible, in some ways, we would have to approach it like any other complex work written by man, in the sense that, you know, we need to understand, you know, who the audience is, you know, who the speaker is, you know, the context of whatever is being talked about, definition of words, etc. You know, it's not just, you know, you read it and it's obvious. In some cases, you actually have to dig in and really take all these things into account. Probably one of the more important aids or important principles is to properly harmonize all that the Bible says on a subject, because, you know, often the same subject is found in different places. But if you latch onto a particular verse in a particular context and focus on just that, you can get a incorrect interpretation of what it's saying, because it's like a puzzle. It's like, I got a piece in this chapter, I got another couple of pieces over here in this other book, and as I bring them together, I can get the composite view, if you will. As a quick example, salvation is one of those things. Yes, I can find in one passage that says, you know, God is long-suffering, you know, not willing that any should perish. Okay, universal salvation. But I go to another verse and says, well, unless you believe that I am he, you'll be lost in your sins. Oh, okay. And go to yet another verse, and it may talk about repentance, etc. Key point being, you have to harmonize what the Bible says on a particular subject, wherever it deals with that subject. And of course, we need to distinguish between the Old Testament or the Old Covenant that God made with Israel, with the Jews, from, you know, the New Testament, the New Covenant, and, you know, what, you know, Jesus taught, you know, his disciples, his followers should be. So we have to make that distinction. And of course, we have to, you know, distinguish between things like commands or approved examples or logically forced inferences. And, you know, it's kind of a complex subject, Brian. So, and I think you're going to deal with, you know, some of those as well within the next little section. But before we do that, any other thoughts on this area?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting how, as obvious as it sounds, to understand the Bible, you have to study it. As you touched on, it's more than just studying it, but understanding how to properly study it, right? And it kind of does segue into the next group of questions that we get regarding learning what the Bible teaches. So we have questions kind of in general that are submitted throughout the year about how can I understand the Bible, or can you help me to learn the Bible? And the answer is yes, definitely. In fact, one of the, Jeff, I'd say hallmarks of our website is not only answering Bible questions, but helping listeners and visitors to the site to get more information, to learn more about the Bible. And so, for instance, we offer two different correspondence courses that if you go to our website, BibleQuestions.org, you'll notice right on the front page there, it references these courses. So one of them is what we call a Bible basics course. There are 8 lessons where you can learn the fundamentals on everything from the origin of the Bible to authority for what we do religiously, to God's plan of salvation for mankind. So it's a really good place to start if you want, once again, foundational basic principles from God's word. And then after that, or even separately, you can register and take a course on properly interpreting the Bible. So that one has several more lessons, but it gives you kind of a deeper understanding of God's word. And then one other recommendation for our listeners is episode 25 we recorded on how to properly study the Bible. So if you have not had a chance to listen to that, just go back into our previous podcast, look for episode 25. And what I think you'll find is that it's a comprehensive podcast to talk about the major principles that we should follow when studying God's word. So for instance, you know, direct command, approved example, and what we might call necessary inference. It kind of teaches you how to use those methods to properly understand God's authority and the authority that we should follow as human beings in general.
Yeah, Brian, a lot of the questions we received are related to, you know, people asking for various, you know, resources. For instance, here's one question. Is it true that the proper way of reading the Bible is to first read the New Testament and then go back to the Old Testament? Another person was asking for lesson plans for Bible reading. Another person wrote in, you know, they want to know more about the Bible. Another one, I want to learn more about the Bible. Please give me the resources to learn. One of the interesting blessings, I guess, Brian, that we have today, you know, in this internet connected era, is what used to cost, oh, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars to build up a physical library of books, Bible aids, Bible study aids. It's all available today at your fingertips for free. All you need is, you know, a computer and an internet connection. And that opens a whole storehouse of various, you know, Bible study aids, you know, things like, you know, overviews, like you mentioned that we, you know, offer from our website. There are Bible in a year reading programs that are available out there. And let me, you know, before I go too much further, if you go to our website, and if you look under the menu item called study aids, we've kind of assembled a small collection of links, if you will, to various places on the internet that will, you know, either offer, you know, a free online Bible that you can, you know, look at and do, you know, keyword searches on, various translations. There's a collection of Bible dictionaries to understand the meaning of words. There are Bible encyclopedias that are online that we link to, you know, one or two that will have, you know, extended descriptions of words or customs or people, etc. Commentaries. On our website, I think we've got 3 different kinds of reading programs, you know, listed out that give you the, you know, various days and weeks of a year and how to, you know, work through the Bible, reading the Bible in a year, a couple different approaches. just lots and lots of aids that are out there. Now, that's the good news. You know, there's a lot of them. They're free. They're at your fingertips, et cetera. However, we need to kind of keep in mind a couple things. You know, first, and really most important, you know, when we talk about Bible study aids, we need to recognize that they are written by men that are, you know, uninspired, potentially fallible, depending on what aid you're looking at. You know, they may be saying what's true. They may not be saying what's true. So we need to read with, you know, very careful discernment, particularly if you get into like some of the commentaries. I mean, you will find commentaries written by, you know, Catholics and Baptists and Seventh-day Adventists and Mormons, et cetera, just all different kinds of people coming from various backgrounds. So again, just the need to be careful about just taking it and following it blindly, just like we were talking about, you know, following, you know, preachers and pastors blindly. And again, there's some other resources we'll get to in just a moment. Brian, any other thoughts before we transition into the next little subcategory?
No thoughts on that. But to your point, we do have one more category of questions that we get related to remembering and applying what we study. So for instance, we get questions like, how can I read Bible and not forget the verses I read? Or why do I forget what I read from the Bible? And I, you know, this was, I'd say, a challenge for all of us, right? We're just human beings. We tend to forget things. And of course, this is why we want to reinforce it. And so, you know, I would just encourage our listeners to not only read, of course, but reread the Bible. And Peter, at the end of his life, as he was writing his epistles, he said in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder." Verse 2, "that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." So, you know, one of the nice parts about the Bible is that, you know, when you read a principle, you learn it, you apply it to your life, hopefully you begin to ingrain it in your mind. And so, you know, you may have heard this concept of memory verses, right? You know, memorize parts of the Bible. Well, it's been my experience, the more you study it, the more you go through passages, the easier it is to remember. It's not even something you really have to work on. You can just call the memory because of the simple repetition. But also, the other nice thing about the Bible is when we are reminded of things that we have already studied, it might be at a point in our life where it now has a different meaning than it did the first time that we studied it. And so oftentimes for me, I find that, you know, a certain principle that resonated one way a year ago may resonate differently because of what's going on in my life now. So just want to encourage everybody to read and reread the Bible. And Jeff kind of alluded to Bible reading plans on our website under the study aid section. There's different reading plans where, you know, every day you read a few passages and over the course of a year, you'll read the entire Bible. So if you've never done that, just simply reading the Bible is a great place to start. And then, you know, be committed to studying God's word. So we have, for instance, 2 Timothy 2:15, where it talks about we should study to show ourselves approved to God, workers basically that should not be ashamed, right? Because we're rightly dividing the word of truth. And so each of us has a responsibility to not take men's word for it. And, you know, you hear Jeff and I talk about this a lot. Don't take our word for it, right? Ultimately, we have to compare anything that's taught or anything that we believe with the Bible to see if it matches up. And so this would include, you know, conducting in-depth study. So as you become more knowledgeable about the fundamentals, take some time, maybe do word studies, take a look at a couple of words or, you know, a particular subject that maybe you thought you understood one way, you'd like to dig into a little bit deeper. And so then, you know, ultimately you're just really committing to growing spiritually. And so we recently finished a series of studies called Adding to Your Faith, which were episodes 40 through 48. If you have not had a chance to listen to that series, highly encourage you to do so because one of the main focuses in that series is growing spiritually, adding to our faith, becoming more mature, and ultimately better servants, better prepared servants for the work that God might have us to do. And so finally, my thought here, Jeff, and then I'll hand it over to you, is just, you know, apply whatever you learn. and do so consistently enough that you'll ingrain them into your everyday life. And so we know in, for instance, Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so it's just one principle to say, walking the spirit means walking according to God's word. And if you do so frequently enough and routinely enough, then you will not desire the things of this life. You'll be focused more on spiritual matters. So Jeff, I'll turn it over to you for your thoughts.
Yeah, all good points. And, you know, I think it could go without saying, but I'll mention it anyway. You know, we talk about how to read the Bible, in a year reading plans you mentioned, how to study the Bible. Good. And now I think you've kind of closed the loop with your last couple of comments about the need to apply the Bible. And in some cases, that can be kind of easy. But in other cases, if what we're reading and studying starts to contradict the way we've been taught or raised or what we've currently been practicing, you know, that can be a little bit of a challenge, because I know there may be a desire or an inclination to justify ourselves or rationalize what we're doing or explain away what we thought the Bible was saying to bring it more into alignment with what we already believed. And of course, all those are dangerous kinds of things. So yeah, approaching the Bible, you know, reading and studying, but also with a love of the truth and a longing and a desire to take what it says, once we understand what it says, make proper application, you know, into our lives, wherever that may be. And the only other thing, Brian, I might mention to just kind of wrap up this particular section is, again, point people back to the website. There's like three main areas in the website where there's lots of material that you can, you know, use for, well, you know, learning more about the Bible, reading, studying, etc. You know, we've already mentioned on the main menu, you know, the study aids menu topic, which again takes you to a collection of materials and external links as well, various, you know, Bible study aids. Under the Bible topics or the, you know, alphabetical list, we have questions. There's also B for Bible study, which will take you to all different kinds of materials. Again, articles, shorter articles, longer articles, etc. And then under the lessons, the main menu item called lessons, we have, you know, Bible basics, as you noted, the how to study, and various Bible surveys, Old Testament surveys, New Testament surveys. So just lots and lots and lots of material that people can, you know, leverage to their advantage as part of their, you know, quote unquote, spiritual journey.
So we have one more section that we want to talk about as far as popular questions that were submitted to us in 2020. And as our listeners might imagine, Jeff, we received quite a few questions about the pandemic and about the virus and whether or not, for instance, this might be a sign of the end of the world or a sign or a punishment, you know, from God against mankind. And so why don't we take a look at that? I had several questions along those lines, didn't we?
Exactly. In fact, there were some people that, you know, wrote to us very anxious, concerned, worried, afraid, if you will, that, as you alluded to, you know, the sign of the end of the world. You know, here's some of the sample questions we got. Which Bible verse talks about the last day will have a hard disease? Or has anyone prophesied when the coronavirus will be entering on this planet and when it will be its end? Or is that the coronavirus is one of the plagues listed in the book of Revelation in the Bible? Or, here's another interesting nuance, could the coronavirus vaccine be a mark of the beast? What about being able to track us and allegedly using aborted baby tissue? And again, the more general, is corona a great sign about the end time? Is it a sign of the final judgment? And finally, will this corona pandemic affecting across the globe, rumors, people saying this is an end time episode, how far, according to the Bible, is this true? Again, a lot of concerns, you know, from people coming from a premillennial, you know, background, you know, signs of the times and the great tribulation and the mark of the beast and the Antichrist and all that kind of stuff. Well, as we mentioned near the very beginning of our podcast, of this series, I think Brian is back in part one, You know, we talked about premillennialism, and we talked about the second coming. And again, one of those more difficult to understand subjects. But when you kind of look at all the verses and bring them all together, it seems to indicate that, you know, the when Jesus returns, you know, the sign of the end times, et cetera, that there won't be any signs. That'll be sudden. It'll be unexpected. And, you know, Jesus' return will mark not the battle of Armageddon, if you will, or the setting up of his kingdom, but will mark the end of the world and the judgment day. So, yes, people may be concerned that the coronavirus, you know, might be a sign of the end times, but of greater concern is we need to be prepared at any time for Christ's return and not get wrapped around perhaps, you know, detailed prophecies of is this that or is this the mark of the beast, et cetera. Brian, any further thoughts on the, you know, sign of the end of the world before we transition?
Yeah, I think anytime something bad happens, you know, whether it's a pandemic or like a terrible earthquake in a country and several people are killed, this is naturally going to be on some people's minds because they feel like the Bible predicts a lot of these events, where, as you just touched on, the Bible doesn't touch about. In fact, it says the opposite, the day of judgment, which is the day we all need to be concerned about. None of us will know, including Jesus doesn't even know when that will be, only the Father. And so, you know, we get some people also that ask about, is this punishment from God? For instance, a couple questions along that line. This wicked coronavirus easily entered into everyone and makes them die. Why God's power will not be poured out on every human being to fight with this corona and to destroy this corona. Another question is, coronavirus great wrath and anger of God Almighty to all mankind? Is corona some kind of test to all mankind? And so, as we touched on, these are the kinds of questions we often get when something happens. The only answer we can give, I guess, Jeff, is we don't know, right? If God had a hand in any of this.
Right, exactly.
He's not revealing this to us, and the Bible certainly does not. And so one passage we refer to from time to time is Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So God has revealed, fully revealed to us what we need for salvation. And even though there are prophecies, for instance, that we read under the old law, those prophecies aren't really talking about, for instance, things like a pandemic that's going to happen at some point in the future. Now, the other thing to keep in mind is, you know, there are a variety of reasons that mankind suffers tragedies like death, and the Bible teaches us that there's an element of time and chance that happens to all of us. So, for instance, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor the bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. So this means that as all of us live our lives, random things will happen, and it has nothing to do with God or the devil. They're just random occurrences that happen throughout the normal course of life. And so some may mistakenly think, Jeff, that God controls us like puppets or controls every aspect of life, like, you know, a finely orchestrated plan. But the Bible teaches us differently, right? He made us free moral agents. There's time and chance elements that happen. And really, it has nothing to do with God controlling those random events.
Yeah, good points. In fact, I think one of the questions I answered that, you know, I tried to point out, as Solomon did, you know, nothing new under the sun, that if you really do a little bit of historical research, that the current pandemic that we're in some ways is not all that unusual. I mean, you can go back, you know, to around the early 1900s and the Spanish flu. You can go back into the Middle Ages with the Black Plague, etc. And there's some online historical resources that say, you know, through time, you know, there have been mass outbreaks of, you know, diseases. And of course, you know, scientifically, there's reasons for that with bacteria and viruses, etc. But, it doesn't necessarily say, well, because this is happening, God is punishing people. I mean, I remember, Brian, when the AIDS epidemic, kind of first came out, and some people, jumped to the conclusion, oh, this is God's, punishment
must
upon
be, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, wicked homosexuals. Well, and in some ways, behavior does have consequences for sure. But you also would hear of people that just got a blood transfusion and the blood was accidentally tainted and now they have AIDS. So, you can't just make this, you can't step over to God's side of the equation and make this blanket statement that says everyone who contracts AIDS or everyone who contracts this coronavirus must have sinned. It's like, no, not at all, which kind of sort of leads us to the next series of questions that I think are very, I want to say thoughtful or thought-provoking, and that's related to various restrictions that we've seen put on people, individuals, and groups related to the virus, reducing the spread of the virus, social distancing, lockdowns, etc. So one question we got was, to what extent should a Christian resist government oppression in his or her desire to continue worshiping God? If government shuts down all church gatherings and believers that meet in their homes to worship are subject to arrest, what should we do? And it's a very, Brian, a very legitimate question.
Yeah, absolutely.
And certainly we have seen some cases, in some here, at least here in the United States, where gatherings of greater than 100 or greater than 50 or greater than 25 or greater than 10, quote unquote prohibited, unless it is quote unquote essential as defined by, the governing officials. A lot of congregations have said, well, okay, we'll just stop meeting. Period. Other congregations have said, well, we won't meet physically. We'll try to meet, electronically. Other congregations may split up into, meeting an individual, splitting up meeting in individual people's homes, et cetera. And of course, there's a concern about spreading the virus, et cetera. So here we have a couple interesting principles, if you will, that start to come into conflict one with another. First of all, the Bible very clearly tells us that we are to honor and respect and obey civil government. Brian, you want to read? Well, I'll tell you, this is kind of like a partial reading. Let me go ahead and read Romans chapter 13. And some of the verses in there, roughly between verse 1 and verse 7, say, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Now, Brian, if you want to, go ahead and take us over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2.
Okay, here it says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence.
Okay. Certainly, again, giving thanks for, being, appreciative, prayers, intercessions, to include kings. And likewise, Brian, a couple books over, why don't you go ahead and do 1 Peter chapter 2, 13 through 17, which I think makes the point even stronger.
You bet. Here it says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor the people, or honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king.
Particularly the very first part where it talks about, submitting yourselves to, every ordinance. So, whether we're talking about, paying taxes or the speed limit or, proper licensing of our cars, or, complying with, laws regarding, social distancing and masking, et cetera, you know, submit ourselves to those ordinances. So that's one principle, if you will, you know, to honor and respect and obey civil government. The other principle, as we've kind of seen, you know, repeatedly throughout the broadcast, is the need to obey God and do what God says. Now, here's where the rub comes. You take those two principles, and now you start getting into situations where they start becoming in conflict. Matthew chapter 22, verse 21, for example, where Jesus was talking to the people about needing to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, you know, government, civil government, rulers, etc., and to God, things that are God's. In fact, there's a couple situations where, you know, the apostles ran into a situation where, you know, the governing authorities told them not to preach. Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. And referring to the leaders at the time. So they called them and commanded them being the apostles, not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And likewise, it happened again. They were brought back before the governing authorities. The next chapter, Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 29. And when they, again, the governing authorities, had brought them, the apostles, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. Now watch it. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So now what we have is we got these two principles, you know, obey civil law, obey God. And in situations where they come into direct conflict, which one takes priority? Obeying God. Now, there are several, you know, beyond this very initial, you know, base level. I might add there's some other prudent factors to consider. I mean, certainly we need to do all that we can, you know, to obey with civil law as much as we can, right? And be setting a good example, et cetera. We also still need to obey God's commands to worship Him, even when forbidden by the government. And yet we still need to show respect for government. I know that sounds contradictory, but still need to. We need to show also a degree of, you know, compassion and grace to perhaps vulnerable members in the congregation. And to some degree, the appearance or the example we're setting to the community. So there's several factors, Brian, here that kind of enter into it. You know, the two basic principles, but some of these other, you know, prudent considerations. Not a simple answer to the question, but one in which, you know, faithful Christians need to, you know, very carefully look at the scriptures and apply it to their situation, and of course respect their own conscience as well. Brian, anything you want to add on that before we go to the next section?
Yeah, you know, this whole pandemic just brought up a series of questions that a lot of us probably didn't think about, right? And so,
well, exactly.
It's easy to say, oh, better obey God rather than men, no doubt. But like in this case, there's more to it than just that, right?
Well, and at least here in the United States, for, you know, many decades, you know, we've been allowed to, you know, according to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, you know, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, et cetera. And there's been, you know, very little, you know, pushback, if you will, from the government that would, you know, hinder us from doing that. Well, boom. Here we are, right in the middle of the virus, with all kinds of, you know, new restrictions and lockdowns, et cetera. And, you know, we could get into all kinds of side discussions about whether that was prudent or excessive, but be that as it may, I think this is the first time, at least here in the United States, in my memory, where the government is stepping in and putting restrictions on people. So yes, has definitely prompted some, you know, evaluation of what the scriptures actually teach and how far we can accommodate the government. And where we just have to stop and draw the line and say, I'm sorry, I know what you want us to do, but with all due respect, sir, we're still going to worship God.
Yeah, and I think like a lot of things in life, it's good for us to go through this so that we are better able to handle it the next time it happens. And or when something unexpected happens. You know, the last group of questions we'll consider here has to do with people asking, what should we do, you know, with this terrible calamity? So for instance, questions like, what should we do as believers over COVID-19? Our economy has become increasingly bad. Another question is Corona, or if Corona is the golden opportunity for all of us to mend our ways and prepare ourselves for the end times. Is Corona great blessings to all mankind to come closer to God? And then we had a request. I request you to pray to rebuke this coronavirus by God's mighty power from this world and pour his grace upon all the people and save the world. And so, you know, when we look at this general question, what should we do? Well, we definitely should pray. Now, no doubt the loss of life, people that are hospitalized and families that are left wondering if they're going to live, all those are very, very difficult to deal with. And so we should pray, no doubt about it. In fact, I'm reminded of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, where Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And he goes on to say in verse 7 that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So the power of prayer. We should also encourage and lift up those who are struggling. So you were talking about worshiping, Jeff, and really, you know, Hebrews 10 talks about, you know, we who are Christians, verse 23, should hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. So no matter what happens, we should be able to hold fast our faith without wavering. Why? Because he who promised is faithful, right? We know God is faithful. Jesus is faithful. All the promises that God's ever made will come true. Verse 24 tells us to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So that's why one of the reasons we assemble. And that's why in verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And so, you know, when you think about going through a difficult time like this, your brethren are a huge support system and is one of the reasons that we assemble, in addition, of course, to remembering the Lord's death and giving and so forth. And so he finishes off verse 25 by saying, you know, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, or so much the more, as you see the day approaching. And so, you know, when we look off in the distance, that day, the day of judgment will occur. And Hebrews 9:27 tells us, you know, it's appointed once for man to die, or for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So because of that, we want to make sure we're ready. And the last passage I'll give to our listeners to consider is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. And I'll let the listeners read that when they have an opportunity. But it just talks about how, you know, the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night, as we talked about early on. So we don't know when that's going to be. In fact, it might be before we die. It might be tomorrow. We don't really know when that's going to happen. So verse 11 says, therefore, since this is going to happen, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? So that really should be our focus. Where am I at in my spiritual walk with God? So that if I get the coronavirus, or I get hit by a car, or some mysterious illness hits me, am I ready for that day? So anyhow, just a few thoughts, Jeff, for our listeners as it relates to wondering what should we do?
Good points. And, you know, at a very base level, it is certainly a reminder of our own mortality. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, from my own personal perspective, it's like we can get into this habit, if you will, of thinking, well, I got up this morning, I got my day planned ahead, I'm going to do some stuff, you know, go to sleep tonight, tomorrow's going to be the same, et cetera. And once in a while, there are these things that come along that sort of smack us upside the head that says, hey, wait a second. Things are temporary. You know, life is not permanent. We don't have guarantees from, you know, one day to the next. So, I mean, certainly there's a lot of, you know, tragedy and suffering and, you know, death, you know, going on, economic dislocation, et cetera. But one of the things that, as you said, can do is remind us of life and the brevity of life and the need to emphasize things that are eternal, spiritual, et cetera, and be prepared. So, Brian, I think that pretty much wraps up, you know, looking back on 2020 and a lot of the questions we've received, and a lot of the hopefully Bible-based answers that we've been able to give people, and certainly a lot of material that we've had prepared and published to our website. And I know we've covered so many different topics. I wouldn't want to go back and rehash the list of topics that are at our website, but certainly would encourage our listeners, to visit the website, www.biblequestions.org, and look at all of the articles and the study aids and the various surveys and lesson series, et cetera, that can benefit you in your spiritual search.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Bible Questions Podcast. We invite you to visit our website, BibleQuestions.org, where you can submit a Bible question to be answered. And you can also search archives where we have answered several hundred Bible questions over the years. Our website also has a host of free Bible study material, free correspondence courses, as well as sermons and a host of other material. Please stop by and check it out.